Did you know you can get paid $200 to deliver one Uber Eats delivery? Here's how. Sign up for Swagbucks and search for the featured offer for Uber Eats. Sign up to be a driver through Swagbucks, complete just one delivery, and you will earn 20,000 Swagbucks points, which is worth $200. Offers like this come and go in the Swagbucks site, so jump on this one quickly and check back often for more money-making deals. Thank you to Swagbucks for partnering with this episode of the Geo Breeze Travel Podcast. Welcome to the Geo Breeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipina-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking.
One of the first things typically I'll tell people is figure out what you want to get out of it, right? Like if you're someone who doesn't like what they're doing right now to make money, you want to execute as quick as possible. You want to be trying different stuff. You want to be asking a lot of questions. But if you're someone that's on the hunt for an extra $1,000 a month and wants to spend as little time as possible doing it, you might be more comfortable learning a little bit slower because you have a lower goal. You have a much lower goal you want to hit. So I would definitely consider that.
How many points are you earning a month? Do you know?
In the range, depending, like 50 to 75,000, I would say. And I know it's terrible so much that spend is just 1x back on the business gold, but it's just what it has to be for now.
Hello, points people. You just heard a clip from Miles from Flips for Miles, a full-time Amazon FBA seller and points enthusiast. Miles has been flipping sneakers ever since he was in college and now supports himself full-time through Amazon selling. In this episode, Miles walks us through his selling journey, how to get started, and how you can earn a ton of points by getting into reselling. If you're looking into starting a side gig like reselling, make sure you take advantage of all the fantastic opportunities to open a business credit card. One of the best business credit cards for resellers is the Chase Inc. Business Preferred, which currently has a 100,000-point sign-up bonus, as well as getting 3x points on internet, cable, phone, shipping, and online advertising. Check out the link in the show notes to learn more about this card, and remember, always use somebody's referral link or affiliate link to support your friends and favorite creators whenever you are looking to open a new card. And now, on with the show. Hey, Miles, welcome to the Geo Breeze Travel Podcast.
What's up? Happy to be here. Excited to chop it up about this for a little bit.
I'm so excited to have you here. And when I first saw your Instagram handle, Flips for Miles, I actually thought it was like, oh, you have a store where you flip things just so that you can get more points and miles. And then I realized that sometimes that's your name.
It's interesting. There's a lot of like things that could be referenced back to that. Because when I made the page like 2 years ago, it made sense because I was, you know, pretty much just flipping stuff at the time. But that is an interesting way. I remember you had said that to me. That's an interpretation. I hadn't heard of the name prior, but it definitely makes sense. It definitely does.
I think I just found you one day because I was searching for any accounts that had the word points or miles or award travel. And then yours came up because your name is Miles. So I was like, oh, wow, he has a whole Amazon store just so he can get points and miles. Nope, that's your actual name.
Yes. Yeah. But we do flip a lot of things. And I do my best to get as many points as possible as well.
So which came first, the flipping or the points world for you?
Interesting. So the flipping, but the getting kind of interested in the credit card stuff really helped like a lot. It obviously helps with different things and it just, you get extra money and stuff. And when I was on a small scale, like a year or two ago, I could hit sign-up bonuses like effortlessly for that might be like Sapphire Preferred for that. You know, that's a lot to spend for like a kid in college at the time because I just finished school last December. But because I've always had to spend money on inventory just routinely, that helped a lot. And then like a year ago, like early pandemic, what I would do was I had like the Instagram page I was working on. And there were these big Discord groups that would like post shoes that were profitable for people to buy and everything. And what I would do is I would hit up a lot of the owners and say, let me, like some of them I was already paying for at the time, but like, let me like be your credit card moderator. Like, let me open up a section of the Discord called credit card help or credit card questions and I'll run that. And a lot of people just let me into the groups for free that I wasn't already in. And that like led me to building actually a lot of friendships that have really paid off over the last year and a half. So the knowledge about that stuff that I was like geeking out and reading like the points guy and some of these other pages and some of the YouTube channels like 2 years ago in school, like really, really helped paid off like a year and a half ago. kind of really expanded my network because, you know, reselling's fairly mundane. You know, the knowledge of credit cards kind of differentiated myself from everyone else and kind of gave me a unique angle to bring value to some people that were like way above me at the time. And it ended up paying off huge as becoming like the credit card mod in some of the different Discords, which was really, really helpful.
That is awesome. Okay, we're going to get into how you met all of these people in just a bit, but let's rewind it back. You got into this while you were still in school.
So I finished school a year and so a semester early. My expected graduation date was May, so like 4 months ago. Ended up finishing off in December because like 2 years ago, summer 2019, I was doing an unpaid internship, but my flipping business was kind of taking off at the time. And I was kind of realizing like, there's people, it was when I started getting exposed to the social media side of things, because I've been reselling forever, not at scale at all, just here and there. Oh, it's just naturally whatever. It wasn't even about the money the first like several years. It's literally just like, I like shoes. This lets me have shoes sometimes, even if I'm not wearing them. And then I started learning about the social media side of things and people were talking about Amazon. That got me into Amazon and everything. And I was like, wow, these guys are reselling shoes and reselling stuff in general full time. Like, that's insane. I might be able to do it full time. So I started taking extra classes and then I was able to graduate early. And then that's how everything kind of came together.
How did you find these people first? Where was the first spark?
Because I did a lot of reselling in Facebook groups early on. So Facebook groups, and then eventually like people started having their own like Instagram pages and stuff at the time. And some of my friends or just people I knew, I wouldn't even call them really friends, although not bad, but you just didn't know them. They started like shoe pages on Instagram. And then one thing just led to another. And I found out about people doing Amazon, which is what I do now. I just didn't really do it like the first few years, just kind of knew about it. And then just was like, they're all making like cool content. Like, I think that'd be fun. Got a Gary Vaynerchuk feel it a little bit. He told me like, or he was like reading all his stuff, talking about making content and stuff. And that just kind of came about of it. Yeah. So I was literally just reselling for like the past 7 years, like five of them wasn't making like even $1,000 a month. And then just gradually kind of scaled it up, realized people were doing it full time. Thought that was a little bit more fun than working corporate. And especially because at the time I was doing an unpaid internship that was required for school. So just one thing led to another there, and then started building out the credit card knowledge. And it's interesting. I actually got my first credit card in August 2019, so I was already 20 years old. So I'm a little late bloomer, I guess you could say, but I had decent knowledge of stuff, so I figured things out. But I wish I did it right when I was 18.
Oh, you are definitely an early bloomer. Most people who listen to this podcast, according to the demographics, average age is like mid-30s. So you were just reselling shoes because you wanted shoes. And then eventually you were like, oh, I'm a college kid. I need some money.
Yes.
And it started on Facebook Marketplace. And you were like, oh, people do this.
Yeah, Amazon, Instagram. Scale. Yeah. And then eventually Amazon. And then Amazon's where it can really hit scale, at least easily, because it doesn't have to just be shoes on Amazon. You know, people buy literally all different types of products. So it's just whatever you can find profitably. So these days I still do a lot of shoes and apparel. Just because I've only really been doing Amazon at scale like 7 months. And that's just what comes natural to me and what like my friend group kind of does. So we just stick to a lot of that still these days, but all different types of products. Yeah.
How does one get started with flipping on Amazon?
Yeah. So my biggest recommendation is just sell like stuff you have that you don't want anymore. Like literally just, oh, everyone has like shoes or clothing, video, whatever that they don't want anymore. Start with that on like eBay, like Facebook Marketplace, that kind of thing. And just kind of see how you like it, right? See if it like clicks for you. It ended up clicking for me just kind of from the start. That's why I did it for a while, even if I wasn't making a lot of money or much money at all. Like, I mean, I was getting scammed, like crucified getting scammed back in the day. And literally, I mean, I just didn't really care. It was like fun. Like it just literally just fun at the time when I was like 15, like, and 16.
What kind of scams?
Like the kid who introduced me to it took like $500 from me. I mean, these days it's like 70. I'd much rather be me. So it's fine. You know, he won that one, but it's just stuff like that. Like buying fake shoes. It was really easy back in the day to get screwed over. And these days, all the transactions I do are anonymous, either through Amazon. So they're not really too much worrying about like off. And then all the buying I do is from retail stores. So it doesn't, there's not, nothing can be inauthentic. But yeah, a lot of fake stuff back in the day, unfortunately.
Are there still a lot of scams going on these days? Like if somebody's trying to get into the reselling business, what are some classic scams they should be afraid
of. Yeah, so it much more like shoe oriented, and most people, shoes are really, really hard these days because it's super, super saturated, just like to being completely real. But Amazon isn't saturated at all. Like, everyone listening to this, you buy stuff on Amazon, there's a good chance that a lot of the stuff you buy, oh, and this is an interesting fact a lot of people don't know, over 50% of the products bought on Amazon come from third-party sellers, which are like brands selling direct on Amazon, manufacturers, distributors, or resellers like myself. So it's interesting. And I, you know, I agree with some of this, that like people talk bad on Amazon for like, you know, crushing margins and stuff. But a lot of the time you are buying from a small business when you purchase something on Amazon.
How do you pick a profitable shoe?
Yes. So it used to be way harder, but these days data is so available. You can see the price chart of the lifetime of a product. So for example, right now with the holidays coming up, I can look back on 3 or 4 years of data on some of these products and see that every December, Amazon runs out of stock. People are buying them for Christmas, so the price spikes up. So I can buy something for $20 right now, literally just sitting on Amazon, Amazon.com themselves saying it. And the last three fourth quarters from December 1st to December 20th, that product sold out, Amazon sold out, and the price just spiked up. So literally just data, like the subscription to the Keepa chart, which is what it's called, Keepa, is like $15 a month, and you can see the lifespan of a product. You not only can see the supply, you can see the demand with sales rank. So it's really cool. And it obviously takes a little bit of nuance to figure that out. But like I have like a 45-minute long YouTube video, I think, of just me and my friend dissecting, showing people how to read them and everything. It's literally just data though. It's like very helpful. Used to be way harder.
How do you spell Keepa?
K-E-E-P-A.
Cool. Yeah, I'm an actuary, so I love data and like the data analytics. So you're just looking at different trends over seasonality and over time.
Yeah. So for the holiday stuff, a lot of seasonality. Oftentimes it's really just, you know, I'll scan a website. If something's $18 and it sells for 35, 32, 37, be able to make like $5 on that. And that's a 30% ROI. It could sell within a week. A lot of the stuff I buy sells really quick these days because I'm like pretty decent at I would like to say, at sourcing stuff these days. So, I mean, yeah, literally, I mean, just flipping my money 30% every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks, just compounds over time. And I get that extra 1-2% from my Amexes. So that helps as well, definitely.
Are you sourced, when you say you're doing these product research, you're just on Nike.com, Adidas.com?
Yeah, sites like that. Yeah, there's a couple different business models. The one I do is called online arbitrage, where I just source from retail websites. Yeah. So literally, I mean, the stuff everywhere people are bought, like the Walmart.coms, the Target.coms of the world, that kind of stuff.
So you're looking at Walmart.com and Target.com too, and then comparing what the selling price on Walmart is versus on Amazon. Yep. And if you're like, oh, that's a pretty good difference between Amazon and Walmart, I should buy some shoes from Walmart and then sell them on Amazon.
Yeah, so Walmart would be mostly not shoes type of products. But yeah, I like to give an example of that just because it's really easy. But it's most times like Foot Locker, Nike, that kind of thing. But yeah, if I can get a, you know, 30% ROI is pretty much the minimum, typically, preferably like 40%. But if it's super, super replenishable, 30% is fine. Yeah, just literally just marking stuff up, finding market inefficiencies. Because there's such a concentration of people's eyes on the internet these days, but it's very sporadic where people like to buy stuff. Some people swear against buying stuff on Amazon, or they don't like Walmart, or they like Target. So there's just market inefficiencies all over the place. And at least for now, it provides a good living for some of us.
Are you drop shipping or are you storing inventory?
Very popular question. Yeah. So all inventory stored. Drop shipping is kind of illegal, or it's not illegal on it. Like, it's against Amazon's terms of service to drop ship from retail stores. Definitely, I would think at least a perfectly legal model elsewhere. But on Amazon, their biggest thing is customer experience. And if someone buys something for $50 on Amazon and it comes in a Walmart box with a receipt that says $20, they're not going to be super happy. And that's Amazon's main focus, is customer experience. So at least drop shipping wise from retail stores isn't allowed.
So when you're selling your stuff that's sitting in inventory, is that not breaking any terms of service because everything on it has like no individual resale?
So no, I mean, it'd be no different. One, because I mean, it's like hundreds of billions of dollars come from third-party sellers on it. Like they rely on, like they need us at scale, similar to the way like we need, I mean, I definitely need them, but like a lot of their revenue, over 50% of it comes from third-party sellers, at least the product-based and like sales bought on them, like roughly those numbers. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's perfectly legal as long as like the stuff's authentic, like, and I'm only sourcing from from like retail stores and everything. So don't really have to worry about anything like that. But yeah, at least for now, it's perfectly allowed.
So Amazon's allowing it, but what about like Adidas, where they're like,
oh yes, okay, so that would, yeah, I'm not sure if I missed the question, but yeah, there's all types of limits and stuff, and just finesse around it as best you can, find different places to source and all that.
All right, so once you get all the technicalities of Amazon set up, and then you're sourcing products, and then you're turning it through Amazon, what kind of margins can somebody expect to make on athletic shoes?
Yes, yeah, so fairly industry standard would be around like 20% net, which ends up being like a 35% ROI, roughly based on the fees and everything, which if you're selling stuff quick, that's amazing. I mean, my ROI is lower because I at least recently, I've been heavy, heavy volume, like over six figures a month revenue wise. And my net margin's like 15% now, which I'm completely fine with because I'm spending less time sourcing because I'm selling a lot of the same stuff, at least for now.
That's net margin because Amazon takes a 15% cut.
15% flat, and then if you sell it through their fulfillment centers, it's a little more. But if you sell it yourself, it's just 15% flat, and then like you got to pay for shipping and everything.
What's a typical day look like for you? Like, how much of your day is spent packing boxes?
Way too much due to obvious world events. No employees, no at least domestic employees right now. So honestly, it's most of what goes into it is either just shipping stuff or buying stuff. There's light back end to building out a free Discord community of 8,000 members takes some time. Posting content as much as I can takes some time as well. But there's a lot worse ways to make money. I'm very thankful for the lifestyle it provides. Like even four years ago this month, I was like really, really nervous about getting a good grade on a chemistry like thing. And then like now I'm like thinking like, how can I, you know, get some seven figures in my bank the next few years?
That's awesome. So at what point in this journey were you like, I can get credit cards and get loads of
here
points.
We go. All right. Yes. Okay. I knew we were coming up on that. So yeah, one of my friends early, and we laugh about it today because he's like, I was so, and I'm like, you were so right. Like he was doing it like two and a half years ago or almost 3 years ago. We went to Europe and he was like showing me these different points and stuff. And I had no credit cards. I come from a family that's like not super interested in it, which is fine. Don't get me wrong. And I just, something just kind of clicked and I got a Discover card like 2 years ago. And then I was reading a lot of TPG and a lot of just like Credit Shifu, Ask Zebby, all the big creators in the space and just kind of studying, like learning some stuff. And then when Chase Freedom, like 4 months after, because I had a Chase bank account for the bonus, and then 6 month anniversary of my credit got approved for an Amex, which is like a year and a half ago at this point. It was literally the sixth month anniversary of my Discover card. I got approved for an Amex, which I thought was like so cool. I had that on the calendar. And then ever since then, yeah, I mean, I probably have like 10 cards at this point. And with multiple five figures a month in spend, it does provide some awesome points. Most of it just goes on my gold card, which Amex Gold Business, which doesn't end up being the best point redemption wise, but I it has the spend that I need. So that's where a lot of the spend goes.
Interesting. Why does most of it go on the Amex Gold?
The business gold has no limit, so it lets me go to the, at least sometimes, not right now, it lets me go really high. So that's what I need right now. I would love, obviously, to be super optimized through Chase, but I just 524, and then with Chase being a hard limit, or at least like a limit the way Amex is a charge card, it fluctuates, at least I think. So that helps. I just need, everything goes biz gold right now.
Because you run
out of spend. Yeah. So I need the like flexible limit.
Do you bother with like the stacking of the gift cards and everything, like the Adidas gift cards, the Nike gift cards, to get even more points on the back end? Or are you just like, too much volume?
Yeah. So what comes up is oftentimes when you're buying a lot of stuff from some of these sites, you can deal with the high volume of order cancels sometimes. And it just becomes a huge mess when you're using gift cards for that, because you have to get like refunds on your gift and it just becomes a massive mess. So no, if I was doing a lot of in-store stuff, I think I'd totally be buying gift cards on Raise and stuff like that. If Raise is still a thing, I know it was a few years ago, but I don't do anything in-store right now, so I don't. But definitely, it makes a lot of sense if you're doing in-store, because they can't cancel an in-store purchase. They can just tell you don't buy it, but if they tell you don't buy it, you haven't spent the gift card and it remains intact. But no, I should. If I was doing a lot of in-store, I would. That's a good thing, and I hadn't really thought of that.
This is a good point, though, because a lot of people focus a lot on all the stacking of the gift cards, and they're like, okay, let's like stack three different ways to get like an extra 8% on the back end. But I think it is important to balance like that extra 8% you're getting, where if you could instead take the effort that you're putting with gift cards
just
and just
make
say
more
like
money. Yeah, just make more money. More money. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Like a lot of my, I probably did put in way too much thought into my like credit strategy like a year and a half ago, but looking back, like it set me up great now that I need tons of spend. Like I have a good like portfolio of cards and stuff. I definitely did put in too much time into it back then, but yeah, now like you can just make more money, like a lot easier than just dealing with like different percentages and stuff, in my opinion, at least.
Are you opening new cards regularly to get the minimum spend?
Oh, wow. I mean, I feel terrible saying this. I don't think I've gotten a new one in like a year, to be honest. Because I have super high balances all the time. So it's so hard. Like my utilization's all screwed up and stuff. Because I'm not like buying a house anytime soon. So I'll run wild with it while I'm getting 30% a month on my money roughly. But at least for now, no. Yeah, I'm lucky that I... At least, I guess one small benefit of, or one benefit of being inventory based is there's, yeah, tons of spend that goes towards it. And if I ever buy any ads or anything, like if I'm ever like hopefully running ads like a course or something in the future, that'll all be, I mean, great redemptions with business gold too.
Tell us about how ads work if somebody wanted to make ads for their store.
Yes. So the nice thing is I only resell. So I'm selling stuff people are already searching for. So one of the big things I say is like, reselling, you can make money in e-commerce with no product creation and no running ads, which is like the main things people like screw up with Shopify and everything. So yeah, I mean, I don't honestly run any ads for Amazon stuff because I'm selling stuff that people are already searching for. So I don't really have to worry about that.
How are people buying your things if it's kind of a commodity that's like a good that
yes,
anybody could source?
Very true. So there's brand restrictions on Amazon. So basically, I can sell stuff newer sellers can't. It's easy to get a lot of stuff unlocked these days, but that's one major competitive advantage because you don't know what you don't know unless you're tapped into like my Discord community, which is free. I'm not like pitching it or anything. Like there's like we help people with ungating and that in there, but it's just competitive advantages of having products unlocked. The average seller can't. Seller doesn't even know how to get unlocked. So a lot of stuff's that, and then just low competition listings. Like you'd be surprised how few. You know, people are on some of these things that are super, super profitable. Like right now, me and this dude in Kentucky have been running a couple listings since like August. And there's just literally like, there's for whatever reason, there hasn't been a ton of competition. And then this isn't super important, I don't think, but I've had a bit like an Amazon store for a few years. So I have decent like metrics and stuff. Probably contributes a little bit, but literally, I mean, just there's low competition on a lot of stuff too. Some stuff there's massive competition on because like if one, like there's a lot of like paid groups that will all buy the same thing and then supply and demand, it goes down. But I don't do any of the hot stuff like that. I'm all kind of different low-key things.
If you are listening to this episode thinking, I want to travel like this, but I need step-by-step directions. One of the best ways to level up your travel hacking game is by talking with other points people. I give away a free one-on-one coaching call each week. The secret link to sign up is in my weekly newsletter, which goes out every Monday and is first come, first serve to grab the free call. Also, I host a masterclass and group coaching session every month. You can find the links to sign up for the newsletter, monthly masterclass, and Patreon, which gets you access to the masterclasses and also recordings of past events, all in the show notes. This week's Patreon shout out goes out to Andrea. Thank you so much for being a part of the GeoBreeze Travel Patreon community. Are shoes a lot more profitable than if somebody went into a different niche, like they were selling
not at
tools,
all, not at
supplies?
All. Absolutely not, to be honest, because shoes have a really high return rate. It's just what I know best. So it just kind of comes natural. So like, I would say I do shoes better than a lot of people like would be able to just because I've been doing it for a while, like even not just for Amazon. But like there's a lot more, at least if I were newer, I would say go after like beauty or grocery, something like that, unless you had like a history with shoes. But it also kind of depends on your interest, right? Like I talk about like having a history in shoes, that's what works best for me. I bet a lot of the bigger beauty resellers happen to be female. No data to confirm that. That would just make sense to me because it might be more fun for them to source that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's honestly everything's profitable. It's just what can you find profitably? Like, because people buy everything on Amazon.
Are there certain things that you can't buy on Amazon? Because once upon a time, I got a whole bunch of different Amazon gift cards from different methods. And I was like, okay, I want Gucci belts or like different luxury brands. And I found that you can't actually get like Manolos or Jimmy Choo shoes. That's, I don't know if you know what these brands are.
A little bit. Yeah. But, I haven't really looked into that too much, but yeah, that would make sense for whatever reason. Some brands I'm sure don't want Amazon, whether it be that Amazon sells a lot of cheap products, maybe it cheapens their brand, or they just don't want Amazon as a sales channel. They want to handle all their distribution. They want to handle all their customer data. So like, for example, like Nike used to sell on Amazon, used to work directly with Amazon. They don't anymore, but Nike products are still allowed to be sold on Amazon. Vans, on the other hand, at least like to my knowledge, they've been cease and desisting people for selling Vans on Amazon. So that's a big no-go. And there's different tools, like one's called IP Alert, which helps you out to learn what brands don't want their products sold on there.
That's a good tip.
Yeah.
When you're getting first set up with Amazon, is it easy enough just to Google how to set up an Amazon store, or do you need
luckily,
a legal team?
If you're listening, oh yeah. So I obviously always talk to like professionals and stuff for that, like those kind of, but in terms of like just getting set up, I mean, like you can search Flips for Miles Beginner on YouTube. You'll find a 30 minute long video of me. It has a blue thumbnail. That's a good like walkthrough. And just, yeah, I mean, you don't really need to Google anything because, you know, there's so many awesome creators putting out. Same thing with like credit cards and stuff. You know, you would tell someone, you know, check out, you know, your different content you're putting out, podcast, obviously, that we're on right now. So I would just like talk to creators about it that are doing it, to be honest.
Is there a time of year where it's best to get started with this? Because I imagine fourth quarter is super busy and then it's like diving into the deep end of the pool. Is that correct?
Amazon's super profitable year round. Obviously, slightly more profitable now just because people are buying more stuff. But no, I mean, there's never a better time. Like, the best time to get started was years ago. You know what I mean? Like, it's only going to get more saturated, but like, opportunities, you'll get better quicker if you start now.
Do you stack with shopping portals?
I'll boast my like Rakuten lifetime balance is probably approaching 10 grand. So yeah, and there's some people I know that put up 10K a quarter on Rakuten. But yeah, like the shopping portals are amazing because, I mean, it's free money, all that. And two, you can see the deals these different sites have. So as a reseller, you know, you can go check like Walgreens, what sale they have going on and all that. And that can be your cue that today might be a good day to really go and do a deep dive of Walgreens or something like that. So I am a huge, huge advocate of that stuff, definitely.
So if you're running up 10 grand of spend through Nike and you're getting 10% back, that's $1,000 of cash back per month, which you shouldn't take as cash back. You should always, if you have an Amex card, just take Amex points.
Interesting. Yeah. So I'm not a huge traveler due to a lot of recent world events, obviously. So I'm a gift card guy with Amex. I know that's a terrible redemption. Honestly, I am. I know. All the viewers are like, oh, this guy's bad. No, literally. I mean, yeah, I'm a gift card guy with Amex points right now.
What gift cards are you buying?
Typically, they took Nike off. Ugh. Terrible. They took Nike off. So typically I'll do like Marshalls and then sell them to like a reseller I know, something like that, and try to get like a decent redemption back. But I don't know, kind of heavy right now, like approaching six figures in points right now, just sitting in the Amex account. So maybe some travel soon, but just due to obvious world events, haven't been doing much the past year and a half.
So for someone who is traveling, if you were doing 10 grand of like cost of goods sold, and you're getting $1,000 cash back on Rakuten per month, and you take that and convert it into Amex points, that's 100,000 Amex points every month. And you can fly around the world in 8 business class flights for 125,000.
Well, yeah. See, that's why I'm stacking stuff up right now, I guess, to maybe execute on some of that soon. But yeah, I've been bad up until recently. And I do actually a decent amount of Chase spend, or not a decent, a little bit, and all that. I just do cash back because it's so nice one-to-one, and then I'll just like keep rolling that. But yeah, no real travel spend.
Does your lifestyle allow you to travel much, or do you have to be in place because you have a garage full of shoes?
So if there was no pandemic, I would hopefully have a commercial space with like one full-time employee, like perfect world. Who knows if that'll happen, but at least for now, no. And that's just purely by design to deny exposure to pandemic and stuff. But if no pandemic, moderately, yeah, definitely.
So I like too that you're already thinking about how to scale this. If like it got really big, there would be a warehouse, you would have fulfillment employees, you could still route all this through Rakuten. When you, and you're still buying all of this yourself right now, like you're going to Nike.com to buy the shoes, mail it to your garage.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of manual sourcing these days. I kind of have a nice catalog of stuff that I've been buying for a while. But yeah, it's literally just, get it shipped here. Occasionally I'll do it to a third party like warehouse that'll fulfill it for $1 a unit. But a lot of the stuff recently, it's been lower buy cost. So that dollar goes a little less further when it's a $30 item than a $90 item. So I've been doing a lot of my own fulfillment lately, like majority. Yeah. And then, hopefully stuff opens up in the next 6 months or so. I could maybe find my own space and get an employee in there to handle a lot of it.
Let's go back to the Discords. How do you find these people?
Yes. So socials, like Instagram's kind of always been my thing that I've been working on for a while. I have like 18,000 on there. And then 11,000 on Twitter, which is Twitter's amazing. Like, because it's way less algorithmically based. So you get a lot more free traffic. So probably like about a fourth of the members are from that, a fourth from Instagram. And then a business partner with over 50K on TikTok, which has been big. And then like 11,000 subscribers on YouTube. So we're going to really build that at hopefully 20,000 members by the end of the year. We're about at around 8,500 right now, and it's just completely for free. And then there's some back-end monetization, but it's just kind of, I want to own the narrative, the conversation as much as possible. If I want people, like everyone's talking about this stuff, they might as well be talking about it in my community and give me options to monetize them as I please, selfishly, unselfishly help a bunch of people for free.
What is the backend monetization with a free Discord?
A bunch of stuff. Right now, just subscription-based leads groups, 6 full-time Filipino VAs sourcing stuff around the clock. We sell those to groups of 30 people at like $100 a month. And it's been going great so far, about 2 months in.
Oh, awesome. So just to join the Discord is free, but there's ways to buy it.
Yeah. Well, only it's like we keep it limited because we only want to market to people who like nothing's like we haven't done a launch in like 3 weeks. And so no one's heard anything about it. It's completely private. It's off, like it's offline from the main thing. And so, yeah, it's like it completely like free. Consider it like a Facebook group for a younger audience that we do end up making some money back in wise for people who do want that kind of thing. But no one gets aggressively marketed to.
Okay. So a few freemium services where like it's free. If you really wanted to buy something from there, you could.
You can. Yep. Definitely. Yeah. Cause obviously you just want to make sure it's a great experience for everyone and stuff. And I mean, I've been doing this stuff for too long to not see when something's just a cash grab, and obviously don't want to be doing that.
Yeah. Do you get sponsored content too? Like when people talk about Amazon all the time, like Amazon's not going to sponsor this. Like Nike.
A fake guru, get rich quick schemes advertise on my YouTube videos. So, I mean, that, and then, yeah, I mean, I'll have a course at some point, probably Q1 of next year. That'll be like the big kind of monetization play, but not really in terms of that kind of stuff. Some affiliate marketing for softwares that I use, but it's only stuff that like I really use like daily. So it only ends up being a few companies.
Who are some of your favorites?
Scout IQ is cool for scanning books. I used to do a ton of textbooks back in college. Inventory Labs, the accounting software I use. And then Tactical Arbitrage is like a really neat software for sourcing stuff that I used a lot back in the day due to capital restrictions. Don't do right now just because I don't have enough money for the products I would want to buy. Like I could list right off the top of my head. But if I did, I would be using a lot of TA as well to find some new stuff.
What are those types of products?
I mean, it's just shoes and apparel. Like there's just so much right now, just like tons of market inefficiencies. A lot of stuff like you see people wear every day, like shorts, shoes, sweaters, literally just that kind of stuff. They're just, for whatever reason, people just really trust Amazon. They don't want to price shop at Kohl's, Nike.com, whatever. So there's just natural inefficiencies in the market.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we all know that these things can be found cheaper because they're being sourced from other places. You can find them cheaper.
It's just trust. Yeah, people like getting stuff in 2 days. It's interesting. There was a point in like August where I was doing a like a lot of volume of like one thing and not anymore. And it's like mutual friends of people I know were like buying. And obviously my store is anonymous. Like literally, I mean, mutual friends of people I know, like names I recognize once or twice, someone from my college, which I go to a college like 2000, I went to a college of 2000 people. So that's like super unlikely, but just, it's interesting. Yeah. I mean, just a lot of mundane, just stuff that people wear every day, just doing what I can to fill that demand.
What are some daily annoyances that you have to deal with running an Amazon store, and how do you handle them? Like people returning things, or like, oh my God, I accidentally bought this.
Yes, I play out a little bit too much in the reels. But yeah, customer service here and there, and then returns can be a little annoying. And then yeah, just shipping stuff out is annoying, but gotta be done. A lot worse ways to make money. So like my worst day as an Amazon seller, I think at least making money wise, is probably better than a lot of people's. Like sometimes. So very thankful for that and work very hard to maintain it.
So you just have like a checklist process where you're like, all right, somebody has returned. Like here's the standard process.
Yeah. You can automate it, a lot of it, but yeah, like a lot of stuff, I don't do a ton of shoes these days. Shoes are the big one. There's tons of returns because the sizing's off, but it's a lot easier to screw up the size of shoe you wear than like the size of like shorts you wear. So there's a lot less returns on the apparel side.
How are you tracking all your inventory?
It's all just Inventory Lab software. I would be screwed without it, but that like makes it easy. Just if I restock something, just go in, update the quantity. It already factors in the buy cost and everything. And then it spits out like a nice P&L and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know how people used to do it before that, but it's been around as long as I can remember, like as long as I've been in the game.
So don't use Excel for this.
I think I've sold like 6,000 items in the last like 60 days. It'd just be impossible.
Yeah. Everybody always tries to track things in Excel, and they expect that I track things in Excel because, again, actuary. But no, don't track your points and miles in Excel. Don't track all your credit card stuff in Excel. Don't track your Amazon inventory in Excel.
Yeah,
that's not what Excel's for.
Yeah.
There's always an app or a tool that's probably like $4 a month or something that you
yeah exactly that it just it ends up saving the time that makes it completely worth it.
I think that's a pretty good segue to the shout out section. Who are some of the people who came before you where you're like, they're awesome and I learned so much from these people?
Yeah So in I kind of already mentioned like the credit card people, like TPG, obviously, Credit Chifu, Ask Zevi, Graham Stephan especially too, because Graham Stephan I'd watched for a while, and he's mainly like personal finance, which is right up my alley, but like he mixed in some stuff that kind of put me on. Like he has a really viral video about beginner credit cards, which is probably what I first looked at when I was learning. And then Amazon wise, this dude named Romer the Roamer, Rake and Profit, Watch Me Amazon. There's a bunch of good ones for that that all have like businesses years beyond, you know, I'm working to get where they are, but they are also super content heavy. So it really helped me at the start as well, which was awesome. And I try to pay that forward the best I can.
That's great. And speaking of paying it forward, where can people find you on the internet?
So it's Flips4Miles, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. Happy to answer any Amazon questions or anything like that. Pretty active, got the Discord community as well. And so happy to help with anything. And thank you for having me on. I think it's a very good time. I love talking about this stuff. And oftentimes, you know, it's hard in real life to find people that are interested in making money online, just finance in general, like this kind of stuff. So it's definitely helpful that we have these online tools now we can meet each other through.
For sure. Are you going to expand past shoes and apparel, or are you like, this is a pretty good niche that I'm
capital-wise, it's just until there isn't enough stuff for me to buy in the vertical I'm in right now, you know, maybe I'll work to expand. I'll probably buy some toys this week too, just because of the holidays. But right now, I mean, it's working great. So I'm going to keep doing what I can right now while also staying open-minded about the future.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Miles, for coming on the show. I also just love that your name is Miles, because
true. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how we even started speaking too, is because of that. Yeah, it's a good time.
It's like, your name's Miles. I feel like I should say hello.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!